In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist paid a cost for fulfilling his ministry. It was not an easy road for John there in the wilderness. John, of course, was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, just as you and I and all the heirs of Adam and Eve were conceived in sin and born sinful from our mother's womb. God counteracted that sinful nature with which John was born by filling him with the Holy Spirit in a marvelous, miraculous way from his mother's womb. God has acted in a marvelous and miraculous way to fill you with the Holy Spirit when you were baptized. So now you are both, according to the old Adam, sinner, but according to the new man in Christ, created in holy baptism, saint of God. And what God said of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was baptized is true of you. You, in Christ, are God's beloved Son for Christ's sake. With you, God is well pleased. Now think about that. God is well pleased with you. That doesn't mean God is sometimes pleased and sometimes isn't. That doesn't mean that God is 80% pleased with you, but he knows that you really need work when it comes to that remaining 20%. God is well pleased with you 100%, 100% of the time. Now, how can that be? I mean, you can look at your life. You should look at your life and measure it according to the standard of God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, which were given first and foremost so you can know and name your sin and confess it. But if you look at your life honestly, you will see the anger there, the bitterness, the frustrations with God even, because he does not do what you want him to when you want him to. His ways are not your ways. They're high above your ways. His understanding is far above your understanding and mine too. And we try to grapple with his understanding. We try to pull his wisdom down from heaven so we can peer into his secret wisdom, which is not given us to look into. We want it laid out for us in black and white, why God does the things that he does, the things we don't care for. And basically, we are stuck with this. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a blanket promise. It's a blanket guarantee. Just as what follows it a few verses later is a blanket promise and a blanket guarantee. There is nothing in all creation, not even the devil himself, not even your own sinful nature, that can separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus. You see, God causes all things to work to the good for you who love him and have been called according to his purpose. But first and foremost, God has promised you, and his promise is unshakable, that there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from his love for you in Jesus Christ. That's quite a deal. That's quite a promise. And the trick for us is believing that promise. Because it's easy to mouth the words, It's easy to mouth those words to someone who has suffered a terrible loss. Hey, don't worry about it. God causes all things to work to the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But in the midst of loss, a person may have a hard time coming to terms with that. Nonetheless, those words, those promises are true. And do you know why they are true? Because God gave His Son for you. God gave His Son in the likeness of our sinful humanity, though without sin, in order to redeem our sinful humanity, in order to redeem you and me, both body and soul. Holy baptism is not just for the body, although the body is baptized. Holy baptism is for the whole person. We see this in the baptism of our Lord. It was both God and man who came to John for baptism. It was God made man who came to John for baptism. It was God made man over whom John poured the baptismal water, even though he said, "You come to me for baptism, I should be baptized by you." It was God made man over whom the heavens were opened. It was God made man that the Holy Spirit descended upon in bodily form like a dove. It was God made man who heard the voice from heaven, the voice of the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The season of Epiphany is the season of manifestation, the season of appearance. And in the Epiphany season, we have opportunity to reflect how the one born in Bethlehem is truly God made man. Yeah, God does not remain far off in heaven. God does not come to us in the form of a spirit. God comes to us as one of us, as one of you, to redeem your lost and fallen humanity. After all, if God had not become man, why would He have been baptized? And if the one who is baptized by John was not God, then he would have needed baptism as a sinner. So in this Epiphany season, rejoice in the fact that God is not distant from you. He is as near to you as your own flesh and blood, which He has redeemed, which He has given new life to by His own holy flesh and blood. Jesus' baptism came at a cost. When Jesus was baptized, that is when He was formally proclaimed as the Son of God. The Son of God who was born in order to live a holy life on behalf of a world of sinners. That means He came to live the holy life that was impossible for you and me. He came to fulfill God's demands for holiness, for perfect obedience to God's law for you and for me. And He came to offer up that holy life, His holy body, His precious blood on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. Imagine a riotous party of teenagers. There are millions of teenagers gathered together, drinking, eating pizza, engaging in who knows what kinds of activity. At one of the finest pleasure palaces in all the world. And somehow they have gotten hold of their parents' credit cards. They run up an incredible bill, gazillions and gazillions of dollars, and then the statement comes due, and their parents see what they have done. All the charges they have run up, the things they have used these credit cards for. The parents are aghast. How will we ever pay this off? You, son, you, daughter, could work 1,000 years and you would never be able to pay this debt. And yet there was one teenager who remained home. There was one teenager who honored his father and mother perfectly. And there was one teenager who said, I will pay the debt that my fellow teens are unable to pay. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the debt for the sins of the whole world. And again, he did it at great cost to himself. The cost of his innocent suffering and death to pay for the misdeeds, the extravagant charges we ran up on the credit card of the devil. But John the Baptizer paid a cost too, for his faithfulness to God's calling to be the forerunner of Christ. We heard that how John preached with exhortations, with encouragement, good news to the people. The good news is the gospel. But John got in trouble. He had reproved Herod, who had taken Herodias, his brother's wife, as his own. He rebuked Herod for the evil things that Herod had done, and Herod added this to his multiple sins, that he locked up John in prison. John spoke God's word to the mighty, to the powerful, and he paid the cost for that. God's calling does not come without a price. That price was first and foremost paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ. But your calling as a Christian comes at a cost too. Your calling as one of God's redeemed people in Christ comes at a cost as well. The cost is your confession. Your confession, even in the face of hostility. Your confession of faith in Christ, even if that confession makes you the object of ridicule. Your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and God in the flesh, even though that confession may cost you your very life. And indeed, that confession has cost you your very life. Because, as St. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You were immersed in the death of Christ in holy baptism. You were buried with Christ by baptism into death. In one sense, one very real sense, you have already died with Christ. Your body just hasn't caught up to that fact yet. But you were buried with Christ, having died with Christ, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too may walk in newness of life. This unbelieving world walks in oldness of life, in deadness of life. But you who are in Christ have newness of life. And the world hates that newness of life. The world hates this new creation of which you were made a part in holy baptism. The devil himself hates that newness of life. Your sinful nature hates that newness of life. And just as the people of Israel were constantly being tempted to go back to Egypt, to go back to their old life as slaves under Pharaoh, so your old nature seeks to beckon you back to the old life you once lived. And to resist that sinful nature comes at a cost too. It is a form of dying daily with Christ by denying your sinful nature. It is, as Paul says, being crucified with Christ. When you were baptized, you were not set on the primrose path. You were set on the thorny, stony path of the way of the cross. The way that is narrow. The way that leads to life eternal for the sake of him who walked that road. For the sake of him who wore that crown of thorns. For the sake of him who had the nails and spikes driven through his hands and feet. But he is raised again. He walks with you. This is a wonder of holy baptism. You were not only baptized into Jesus' death, you were baptized into his resurrection. And thus you were made a new creation. And through Christ, you can do all things by the power of him who strengthens you. You can boast in your own weakness because Christ has been made strong and he makes you strong through the means of grace. I want to call your attention to something. Look how John was locked up in prison by Herod. But look how Jesus, we are told, following his baptism, saw the heavens opened up for him. And so in baptism, the heavens, God's heaven, was opened up to you. And God now speaks to you through his word and calls you his beloved child for Jesus' sake. No earthly prison can confine you ultimately. God still speaks to you through his word, through the word you have laid up in your heart. God speaks to you today because the heavens are opened, because Christ has come down from heaven to open the heavens for you. And God speaks to you to encourage you to faithfulness, to encourage you that your sins have been forgiven, each and every one of them, for Jesus' sake, to encourage you and sustain you in this walk of faith, even though the path gets stony and the way gets thorny, and death seems to lie at the end of that road. No, Christ lies at the end of that road. Christ in his glory. Christ in his resurrection, which has been made your own. Christ in his heaven, of which you are now an heir for Jesus' sake. Your baptism comes at a cross. The life comes at a cost. The life of faith which follows upon your baptism comes at a cost. But Jesus is there for you. Jesus is there to strengthen you. And we come here as the baptized to receive the strength and help and grace and forgiveness of the gospel. We come here as brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk together in this way, to encourage one another in this way. Don't think of this gathering of you as God's saints as a mundane and worthless thing. This is part of heaven come to earth. This divine service is a cosmic event of eternal significance. Because Christ, the crucified one, is here with us. He is here with us in his word. The word of the one who paid the cost for you. He is here with us in his body and blood. The body and blood which he gave and shed on the cross for your sins and for your forgiveness. He is here so that as one body in Christ, we can live together as his people, focusing together on the one thing needful, our Savior Jesus Christ and his word. You may pay the cost of discipleship, the cost of baptism in many different ways, but it began at the font where you were united to Christ and received the forgiveness of all of your sins. But it does not stop there. Oh no, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an ongoing thing. It is a path you follow your whole life long. It is a path that is only made possible for you to follow as you gather together as his people, to receive Jesus as he is present for you. Maybe the cost of your baptism means getting out of bed in the morning. Maybe the cost of your baptism is coming to gather here with God's saints when you would rather be somewhere else. Maybe the cost of your baptism is to turn off that TV show that you find so interesting and so addictive when you really need to be in the Word of God. Baptism comes at a cost. It comes at a price. Christ Jesus has paid that cost, has paid that price. And because the price he paid was so valuable, so eternally significant, we deny ourselves, which is our way of paying the cost and clinging to Jesus, the one who gives us forgiveness and life eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.